Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today we're honored to have back someone who's been on the podcast, Andrea Lynn. So, Andrea Lynn, welcome back to the Catalyst Stories podcast.
Hi, John.
So, I want to jump right into your testimony. And you once made a promise to God at the age of 13 in regards to his timing for a husband for you. Right. And so talk about that promise.
Okay, so I accepted the Lord in 1975 when I was 13. And not too long after that, I don't know why I was thinking this, but I always felt like, you know, as a single person, that I was married to God first. So I felt like, okay, if I'm married to God, then I'm saving myself until God finds someone for me.
Wow. And do you remember how that came about?
It was just a weird conversation, just having it to myself, you know?
Wow.
And I just made that promise, basically. Like, Lord, if I save myself and I'm really married to you first.
Yeah.
Then if you want to find me somebody, that person, please promise that this person will be like me. Pretty much like that. That's how I felt.
Like me
in that the person would be saving themselves also.
Okay.
Have the same kind of, you know, character, moral character.
Right.
You know, so that's what I did when I was very, very young. And I don't know why I did this at 13.
Yeah, that's amazing. At 13 years old, you have that mindfulness.
So, that's how I felt. And so, you know, I didn't meet my husband until a lot later.
And we'll jump into that in just a bit. But I wanted to ask you, so this is at 13 that you kind of made this promise to God. So as you're going through high school and even college, are you aware of that as you're meeting other guys and interacting with people? So how does that affect your kind of lens in high school and college?
Well, you know, in high school, I was kind of the nerd. You know, I didn't expect a lot to happen. You know, I just thought I was unnoticed pretty much. Uh-huh. And, you know, I really had to say that, you know, those in high school.
First of all, I don't remember you as being a nerd in high school.
Oh, so I was. I was completely a high school nerd, you know, and most of my friends were, I don't want to call them nerds, but we were the level that's what mattered.
Okay, so like school. So as you define nerd, is it you in the books, studying and reading all the time, and that's all you do 24/7?
That's pretty much. It's like you have no social life. You don't have any outside activities. I wasn't in any sports. Pretty much you come home, you just hit the books, and your whole goal is to finish high school and go to a good college. I mean, that's how you make your parents proud, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the mindset, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much us going to college made our parents proud. And so, you know, that was pretty much my goal. So I didn't really take those years seriously. I always thought, well, a guy is not going to be interested in me because I'm a nerd, but I might have good characteristics later, you know, after college. I might be somebody that someone would want to marry because I finish college and hopefully have a good job, you know, that kind of thing.
I
have all these other accomplishments.
Okay. So you graduate from college.
Yes.
And now how does that, do you think about that promise more?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Yeah. I actually even made a list of qualities I would look for in a guy.
Ooh, okay. We have to hear some of what you wrote down.
So I wrote it on this piece of paper, and I dated it. And every time that I would change it or add to it, you know, I would redate it. As I grew older, things that became less important, I would cross off, and I would, you know, move things on to the list that were important.
Oh,
so okay. Like at first there were things like must enjoy my cooking, you know, stuff like that, right? Food is kind of important, okay? And so, you know, must want children.
Okay.
Right? Must want children. And then someone who is ambitious.
Okay. Yeah.
Someone that I could respect intelligently.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. and be able to have good conversation and be, you know, someone that can make me laugh. I even had on there someone that was older than me.
Really?
Yeah. Now, you know how you just think that the guy should just be older?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So that's where maybe the more mature came
in. Yeah, that's where you start thinking, okay, I want to make sure someone's older than me. You know, I didn't want to be the older person.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So, okay. So before we move on from there, you had mentioned the cooking. So what type of cooking were you into at that time?
Oh, I just tried everything. Oh, okay. Tried different things. You know, I grew up, you know, eating Chinese food.
And yeah,
just
yeah,
watching
yeah.
my mom, yeah. like, tear apart a crab or fillet a live fish. You know, like, I saw how to do all that stuff.
Yeah,
not that I do it now, but I know how to do it because I watched my mom do it over the sink.
Yeah,
So I can say that, you know, it's important, I think, to have similar food interests.
Right.
I mean, what if you met someone that totally didn't like Chinese food?
Okay.
Or totally would not eat anything but Chinese food. Right? I mean, there are people out there like that.
Yeah.
But it's important that someone is just willing to eat your food.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why that was on the list.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay. So fast forwarding a little, you know, you made this promise with God, and then one day you meet Ken.
Right.
And when you started seriously dating and considering marriage, you had some challenges. So talk about those challenges and what God said to you during those trying times.
Okay. So I met Ken in 1992. So by that time I was approaching 30. And so, you know, you start thinking, first of all, well, maybe it's not going to happen, you know? So I'm just going to preface the story a little bit before.
Sure.
And I remember sitting down in my condo and just thinking to myself, you know, Lord, if it's not meant for me to be married, then please make sure that I'm satisfied being just with you and single.
Okay.
And I remember being, after this conversation and thinking about it, I thought, you know what? I'm okay with this idea of being single.
Yeah.
You know, as long as the Lord promises to just be with me. So I'm not alone. And so I was completely satisfied being single. And I thought, okay, this is good. And it probably went on for I don't know how long. And, of course, unbeknownst to me, not too long after that, here comes Ken. You know, and I thought, maybe that's why God wants you to be, like, happy with him before happy with anything else in your life.
Right. You know? So I mean, it's like you're getting your fulfillment and your satisfaction from God first, and that's kind of setting the foundation for you.
And I think that that's really important for a young person or a young Christian person, that you need to be happy with God
and
where your life is and not desire other things that you see other people have. And I think I know I got to that point.
Wow.
You know, where I was not dating anyone and I was okay with what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though everyone else was around me was pretty much married or starting families, I was okay with being single.
Wow.
And so, like I said, not too long after that, maybe half a year or whatever, after spending time with the Lord, I met Ken in 1992.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did meet each other at the office, which was not my ideal place to meet a potential marriage partner because they always said, don't meet someone at work.
Separate
that whole thing. Don't meet someone at work. But, you know, unfortunately, that's where we met.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to say, beginning too, that Ken is a pretty amazing guy.
He's
really sweet. He never complained about me, you know, to his parents, which is
not one time.
Yeah. He didn't say anything negative. And there's a lot of things that you could say negative. You know, you could tell if your parents ask about, oh, who's this girl you're dating? You could easily say, yeah, she's all right. She's, you know, but he never said a negative word about me.
Yeah.
And so this is where it gets kind of tricky to talk about this. Okay. So, my in-laws did not approve of me to be a potential girlfriend for their only son. And, it was kind of, you know, it was hard, you know, because I'll just be honest, my father-in-law made it known that mm-hmm. he did not approve of me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I remember once we were at the office, and I just happened to be at their office, and this is currently where we work now, and it was just me and him in the front office, and he came up to me, and he said, do you know why I don't like you? And I said, yes, I do. And he pointed his finger, and he said, what is it? What do you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, there was something in me that just made me stand a little straighter and just say, you know what? I know you don't like me because I'm older than your son. One of the things I ended up crossing off my list.
Mm-hmm, right.
Being the
right.
older person now.
Yeah, yeah.
He pointed a finger and he said, right, I don't like that. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I can't change the year I was born.
Yeah.
I was born when I was born. I can't change that. If you ask me to change my hair to blonde color, I can do that for you, but I can't change my birth year.
Right.
He goes, and then he's like, what else?
How did he respond to that?
He didn't say anything.
He didn't say anything.
He didn't say anything.
Okay, he just moved
because
on.
Because I came right back at him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then his next thing was, what's the other thing? Pretty much like that kind of tone.
Yeah, yeah.
Pointing a finger at me. And I said, it's because I'm a Christian. And he goes, that's right. And I said, I'm sorry. I can't change that either. I go, my grandfather brought Christianity into our family.
Yeah.
And my mom and her siblings were all Christian, and that's why I'm a Christian. I cannot change that part of my life.
Mm.
You're going to have to pick something else.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And with that conversation, it just kind of ended, you know. And I don't know if it's because now someone walked into the room,
mm-hmm,
but it was just me and him talking like this at first.
And what do you think it was about you being a Christian that met with disapproval?
I don't know. I guess, you know, he wasn't a Christian. Maybe he was more mm-hmm. Buddhist or atheist or, mm-hmm, you know, generational honoring of family or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. Or maybe it's just cultural. I don't know. Or he just didn't know anyone that was Christian. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But he seemed to have picked out those two things, and I was able to, I knew what it was. Mm-hmm. That's why I told mm-hmm. him what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And he, you know, and so the conversation, I think it ended because probably someone walked in. It could have been Ken. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
I'm sure if Ken walked in during the conversation, he might have, like, maybe stopped it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so when I was driving home that day, I was driving from Huntington Beach back to Torrance. I was feeling okay about the conversation. I was kind of glad that I kind of stood up for myself.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember just saying, you know, Lord, just driving home in the car, there's nothing I can do. This is who I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm honoring you. I'm not going to change.
Wow.
You know, this is who I am.
Yeah.
And I remember one of the few times in my life when I heard the Lord's voice say, Andrea, he is an earthly father.
Mm.
I am your heavenly father, and I approve of you.
Wow.
And I heard these words.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, then we're going to go in this direction and see where it goes.
Wow.
I'm just going to be the person you want me to be. I'm not going to change, and we'll see what happens.
Wow. How did that make you feel when you heard those words?
You know,
I am your heavenly father.
I mean, those are the exact words I heard, and I still remember them to this day.
Yeah, wow.
And so it's pretty amazing to actually know that your heavenly father approves of you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I knew I was on the right path, and so I said, okay, I'm just going to stay the way I am. I'm going to just be the person I am, and we'll see where this goes. And so Ken and I dated for many years. You know, and Ken knew, he didn't actually know about this incident until, I want to say, this past year.
Wow.
I guess I never told him that his father had spoken to me like that. His dad had done other things to show his disapproval,
mm-hmm,
but nothing mm-hmm. so direct.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm hearing that for you, you were so secure in who you were. And who your heavenly father is, mm-hmm, that it's almost, I'm getting the impression that you were okay with that. I mean, not okay with what was said,
right,
but you so strongly knew who you were, right, that it was almost like you could just move forward. It wasn't it wasn't like taking a bullet to the heart.
Right, you know? Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. I think
that's amazing.
I just feeling that the Lord approved of me. And I knew my own earthly father approved of me, my own dad.
Oh, uh-huh,
but,
uh-huh,
I
yes,
mean, if
yes.
he didn't approve of me, okay, so what, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
My heavenly father approves of me, and my own father approved of me. And so I guess that's the whole thing too, that people don't realize when you don't approve of a person's child, you pretty much don't approve of their family too, you know? And that didn't even dawn on me until later either. You know, wow, he didn't approve of me, but he didn't approve of my parents, you know, because they're part of me. I'm part of them.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So it took a long time. I mean, Ken and I, obviously, we stayed together and ended up getting married. The funny thing is, during this time, there were little incidences that happened, you know, like...
Talk about those.
My father-in-law's mom actually, you know, we met all of them because of circumstances in the family.
Yeah.
And I remember I found out later that my father-in-law's mom said, Andrea has a lucky face. It's like one of these crazy Chinese-Asian things, you know?
Yeah.
And then I thought, okay, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. And then... my mother-in-law's father, on a different occasion, said exactly the same thing.
Yeah, so maybe you can kind of translate and explain to the listeners what, when they say, when a comment like that is made, what that means.
I think, well, to me, I don't know what it means to have a lucky face. What does that mean? But maybe it means approval.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think with my... father-in-law's mother approving, it made him look at me maybe a little differently. And then with my mother-in-law's father approving, it's like two different sides of the family saying the same thing. It maybe told both of them, like, this girl, you know, might be right for your son. So, you know, as Ken and I moved along, you know, Ken... totally supportive, and like I said, he never made a negative comment about me. So his parents didn't really have anything, but I was older and I was Christian, you know.
Yeah.
And so there was nothing else they could say about me, whether I had a bad habit or I was left-handed instead of right-handed. I don't know. There was just funny things that families bring up.
Yeah, yeah. But, now I love hearing this story because of, you know, God has a way of redeeming everything, and and eventually, your father-in-law came to see you in a different light. Right. And I wondered if you can talk about that, because this is so amazing to me.
I think that he probably realized I wasn't going anywhere anytime soon, that I was probably going to be here for a while. So I think as Ken...
it's probably some other things, too. I'm sure as soon as he got to know who you really were, Andrea...
I don't know, actually, you know. You know, I thought, you know how you think, oh, I went to a good college. That should be good enough. You think things like that, you know. But he, when our parents decided to meet, they decided to meet at a Chinese restaurant having dim sum. And I remember Ken and I sat across from our parents, and our dads sat next to each other. And I remember seeing Ken's dad and my dad leaning towards each other, like talking. And, you know, they were writing something on a piece of paper. I didn't know what it was. And I just thought, okay, whatever. You know, that's good that they're communicating in Chinese. So on the way home, I drove my parents home. Ken drove his parents home. And my dad said to me, you know, Andrea, you know what Ken's dad wrote? He wrote on a piece of paper, this napkin. I go, oh, yeah, I saw you guys doing something. I go, did you, you know, what did he write? He goes, actually, he wrote, our kids are made for each other.
Wow.
Which I didn't expect that. And the first thing out of my mouth was, well, did you keep that piece of paper? Because I want that piece of paper to like show, you know, show Ken and show, you know, I can't read, but, you know, it's kind of nice to be like affirmed in that way. Finally, you know, for him to say our kids, you know, are right for each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so obviously, you know, I mean, obviously now things are great, you know, and it's good, because I remember even after we were going to get married, his dad would come up to me and say, so what are you going to call me after you're married? And I'm like, whatever you want, sir. You know?
Yeah. He was
like, dad?
Yeah. He's waiting for that response. So you said back to him, can I call you dad? Or
I think he was the one that kind of just said, how about dad?
And then you...
I was kind of like, okay.
Kind of, you sound kind of surprised that he would ask you that.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So after we were married, we turned around and we were facing the congregation. We were walking back. You know how you greet your parents, right?
Yes.
So we greeted his parents, And I remember when I leaned in to hug him, I just said, "Thank you, Dad."
Wow.
You know, into his That's ear. Neat. And he could, I don't remember what his expression was, but, but I mean, we've been married for 26 years. And so, you know, I really feel that God really kept his promise to me.
Yeah.
From the time I made the promise when I was younger.
And
if I was just patient enough and have willing to go through, you know, what I went through.
Yeah.
You know, there was, you know, a reward at the end.
Yes. And, yes.
Yeah. But it was, it was not an easy time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel for, you know, the kids that go through it, and with my own kids too.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like sometimes I have to be careful not to be judgmental, because I was judged, you know, and to just give everybody a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
Everybody has a redeeming quality. And you just don't, you know, you just don't always see it right away. You might only see the outward things, whether it's age or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but
that's 1 Samuel 16:7, I think, right? That man looks at outward things, but God looks at the heart.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm here. The other thing that I'm hearing, Andrea, is, you know, you had that solid foundation in Christ that seemed to carry you through the challenging times, and I'm sure your message is for, I'm sure your message even to your kids is that same way, to have that solid foundation in Christ first.
Right.
And that would carry you through any challenges that you would face in a relationship or marriage.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, it's been, you know, that story itself is already, it's pretty amazing too, because, you know, Ken wasn't a Christian at first too.
Yeah.
And he did become a Christian before, you know, we decided to get married, and that was something that was really important. He needed to believe.
Yes.
And, you know, have the same faith as I did.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Wow. What an amazing story. So as you reflect on this testimony, what would be your words of advice or words of wisdom for young people that are maybe either considering marriage or in a relationship and considering tying the knot?
I think you really have to be happy with being with the Lord first and foremost. And let him be kind of like your partner.
Yeah.
You know, and really be secure in that and being okay with that. And then I think only then that I feel that God can fulfill that promise, you know. And I think it's just like in Proverbs, you know, where you have to trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yes.
That's really what you need to do, is to really believe that.
Yes.
And know that the Lord is looking out for what he feels is best for you. And even though, you know, for me, some of the circumstances that led into it weren't easy, you know, it's okay. You know, you can make it through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can make it through it.
Yeah. And I really believe, after hearing your testimony, that, you know, it's one thing to know something in your head, but it's another thing to receive something in your heart, and you have received that message in your heart.
I know. I know. I feel so blessed to actually have heard those words.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I would never have thought I would hear it like that. You know, in a time when I wasn't feeling like accepted, you know, for being who I was.
Yes.
But being accepted by the one that matters. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. So, Andrea, as we close our time together, I want to first of all thank you for coming back here to be on Catalyst Stories and sharing your amazing testimonies with us.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, and I just want to also end our time by lifting up a prayer of thanksgiving for these testimonies and for our listeners as well. So, yeah, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for Andrea's amazing testimonies of your hand in her life, and thank you for speaking the words to Andrea that you are her Heavenly Father first and foremost, and that you approve of her. Help us, Lord, to hear and truly embrace those words in our heart from you. And I just feel led to, I want to speak those words over all of you listening today. Your Heavenly Father says to you, "I am your Heavenly Father, and I approve of you. And finally, thank you for your timing in Andrea's life in regards to her finding her husband, Ken. Help us, Lord, to wait on your perfect timing for us, knowing that there is an appointed time for everything, as you've said in Ecclesiastes 3:1. And now, Jesus, may you use these testimonies in Andrea's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's it for today's podcast. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration for others. God bless.